Angela.
Dulce.
José.
Jesús.
Papi.
Cheer.
So what episode are you shooting here? How far along are you guys?
Block three?
Yeah.
Block three. We're just starting block three.
Oh, okay.
So they do the episode one and two is block one. Two and three is two. Yeah, so we're doing five and six.
Yeah.
So what do you think of Follow Me Council so far? I mean, what you've learned or coming in?
You should start that because you were in love with him. Well, I was in love with him, too.
Yeah,
you
were both in love.
But you were, like, in a romantic relationship.
I mean, going into this, I didn't actually know that much about Picasso. So I think one of the most rewarding things out of the, you know, when you do play a part that's a historical figure, it's something that really happened, it's so fascinating to get to learn a lot about that character. And, you know, so far it's been, you know, such an adventure. I'm still very new to this, the whole acting game, so I'm still learning as I go. I've been working with Antonio, it's been incredible what he's brought to the character. I think everyone's going to find really interesting, but as an actor working with him, he's been so generous and kind and makes everyone in the room feel very at ease and very comfortable, and that's just something that is, I think, quite rare in the industry. And he's spectacular, and I think everyone's going to really enjoy it. And yeah, that's my take on it.
You know, your character meets Picasso when, you know, she was a minor and he was like 45. So as a woman, how did you tap into that character, someone who dates someone for 10 years and he's still not putting a ring on it? So how do you deal with that as a woman?
I mean, so I don't actually play, well, I haven't played, because they're sort of chopping and changing times, I'm yet to do that part. So at the moment, the parts that I've done are sort of in the middle of her relationship, so that after she's had Maya, their daughter. But I think that sort of, there is definitely that thing, I think, that she felt, you know, they were together, yeah, almost 10 years, and she was desperate for him to marry her, and she was, you know, she goes on about it quite a lot, but I think a lot of it really boils down to her daughter. You know, she was this very sort of protective mother, and she was always concerned that Maya never saw her father enough or was always asking where he was, and, you know, she wanted them to live together and to be this family, and she really, really fought for it until Dorma comes
being,
along and ruins it.
And, like, being new to this acting world, coming from being a fashion icon and still being a fashion icon, which I absolutely adore, what have you learned from, let's say, Antonio Banderas? What have you, like, as a sponge, what do you take in?
Oh my God. I mean, from something like him, it is what I was just saying earlier. It's that way of, you know, this whole thing is about him, and he could easily be in the corner of the set just really, you know, taking his time and making it all about, but he doesn't. He comes and he's like, I feel like when you say that line, it should be like this, or how do you think it should be when I say this? And, you know, what do you think if this is more of a tender moment? And what do you think? He's always asking, and always asking advice, or, and, you know, giving you advice, and that's just so rewarding. And so for me, I've just looked at that and been like, wow, people can be really generous of spirit and generous of what they do, and I think that's just something really terrific and something to really look up to.
Awesome, thank you.
Yeah.
PR, your character, Max Jacob, was a talented guy, but also a tragic figure also.
Very. In so many ways, he's a tragic figure, I think. I mean, not only was he... in his time, he was a gay man who was tortured by that. He was in love with Picasso. He had a great friendship with Picasso. So I think that love was not just a lust. It was a deep, loving friendship. But he was also, you know, he was also an attractive man. So not Max, but Picasso. I'm just joking, Max. So I think it is hard because there is that element. I mean, I think he was an artist, but in so many different mediums. He was not only an artist, he was an art critic, in addition to a painter, in addition to a poet, in addition to a writer of prose. And it's he's a remarkable person, but he was, he was raised in France in this middle-class Jewish family. He was one of, I think I've already said this, but one biographer talks about he was born into sadness. You know, there was a very abusive relationship. I think it said, one of the things said, the last time he was slapped by his mother was for a spelling error when he was 24. So, you know, and then you go into that, and then living in this in this world back in the turn of the century as a gay man. I mean, being gay now is you know, has it's very different, but we also, you know, you just need to turn on the news to see that it's so many aspects of it are not different. And but we can get married now, for instance. And I think Paris during that time was a place where he could thrive and explore his life. But I think that torture, it didn't allow him to do that. So he had a conversion. He saw Christ at when he was 33. He had a vision of Christ. When he was 33, which I don't think you can kind of like, that's very fascinating information to have. And then he converted to Catholicism. But he lived as a gay man. Picasso is actually his godfather when he was baptized. But he lived life as a gay man, but then he went and lived in a monastery with the monks. He didn't become a monk, but he lived, he had he chose to be a Catholic. So with all due respect, it's like there's that kind of, he needed to be punished, he felt. A lot of his writing talks about that. So living in this convent, living away from people, and he needed that punishment. He thought he needed that punishment. But then he also went back, and he went back to Paris, and he lived his life in Paris then. And then he went back to the monastery, and that's where he was living for a number of years before the Nazis took him to the concentration camp. He didn't make it there. He died in a prison halfway there. He died of pleurisy. So yeah, there's a lot there, and it's nice. It was one of the things we've been talking about obviously the spotlight is on Picasso and the young and the older, but you get to see these people who also were fascinating individuals, and the writing is so brilliant because it gives them an entire life. Whether it's someone he was had a romantic relationship with, or if it was someone who just was a friend and who challenged him, I just think it's so many times you can get regulated. When you have a supporting character in something that's especially like a biopic, it's a lot of times like, how do you feel about that? What did you say then? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's just like, there's no, it's just a lot of, but to get the opportunity to delve into these troubled people, fascinating, complex people is just such a joy for an actor.
I mentioned to Antonio that, Jeffrey Rush set such a high standard in the first season. Of course, you were in it, so you're no stranger to the quality. I wanted to know, have you seen the first season? And if so, how do you take on that challenge to up your game, as it were?
Oh, my God. I mean, so the first season I watched, terrific. I absolutely loved it, and that's...
You'll get your money.
I think there's... one specific person, Sam Colley, who plays Mileva in the first season, who's also Dora Martin in the second, and I thought her role as Mileva, watching her in that, I literally wept watching that scene where she's with him and she throws a teapot, and I thought she was so incredible. When I first met her in the hotel lobby on my first day of set, and I was completely literally starstruck. I didn't even know what to say. I was like, a dribbling wreck. Anyway, and we've become friends since, but like getting to watch her and listen to her. She's also, trained, she's gone to all the best sort of, she trained properly and did all that kind of stuff. So for me, I literally sit there and nitpick her. I'm like, so when you do this and it's like this, and she's like, oh my God, it's literally feel like I'm giving you a lesson. Sometimes I feel like that, but yeah, you watch something like that and you feel like I've got to really bring the A game. So, you spend a lot of time researching the character, really getting the accent right. I think that's key because you want it to be right to that person. You also don't want to be thinking about your accent when you're trying to be, you need to just, that needs to just flow. Mm-hmm. Just working out that stuff really, just really bring it to life in the right way.
Awesome. Do either of you speak Spanish or French?
No.
What do you think drove Crazy, or madly in love about Picasso for women? What do you think was it? about Picasso?
Oh my God. I mean, and so this was her first, you were saying, you know, she was, I think she was 19 when she met him. So, you know, her first love, I think, I guess it's his creativity, his passion. You know, he was very good to her. I mean, yes, she was very, very young, but he was very good to her. He never married her, but he was a great dad to Maya. He always took care of them. He bought her an apartment. He was very loving, very, very loving. All my scenes that I have with him, it's always kindness and very tender. And yeah, I think that she probably fell in love with this, you know, his mind, this like this passionate, relentless, you know, strong man. You know, he was very talented.
So this probably made you even a better actress now. What is it that you will take for your next project from doing this character?
God, what will I take from it? I think what I've found really interesting is I've really got to understand this character. I did a lot of research. I've read a lot of books. And so going forward, I just think it's really important to really know that person and really try to be that person and really put yourself in those, you know, in that mind frame. And yeah, I've only done, you know, two other acting roles before that, and they were both things where they didn't necessarily need research, but in hindsight I think that everything needs research, and you need to really, so I think that going forward, yeah, I think I would definitely put more time into the sort of background of characters, even if they're fictional.
TR, so my question is about relationships in the industry. So you've had such a great relationship with Shonda Rhimes back in the day, and now you're going back to another amazing franchise like The Genius. So going back to something like that, how amazing do you feel, but how much are you grateful for those relationships that they trust you to come back and do a different role in the same franchise, I would say?
It's nice. I mean, I joke about it, but it's actually true. It's like that your crazy's not too much for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That it's like
exactly.
That it's like okay, they can deal with it. The level of gratitude I have, well, for Shonda is a whole other topic completely. And also, you know, and going back and working with The Catch and, you know, seeing her again after and all those years, it was beyond words, remarkable. But to be, for this, for Genius, to see just how the care everyone takes, the respect everyone has for each other, the kindness. For me, I don't know if it's because I'm a wounded creature or what, but it's like what you're talking about. Every single time I feel like it might as well, everything isn't under the swept away, but it feels like it. It feels like every job is a new job. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, if that's special, that I just, you know, need to go to more therapy for that or what. But it's like, but there's fear. There's like, am I going to, you know, the job is to not let the kind of fear paralyze you, because it's like, oh no, there's Antonio Banderas. And you know, it's, especially if you're a fan or if you've seen their work, like, you know, I saw him on stage in 9. Years ago on Broadway, and it was just like, besides his movies, which I love, obviously, I don't mean to minimize them, but seeing him in the theater, it was a totally different experience, and it was just mesmerizing what he did. And I will never, it's one of the top performances I've seen that I will carry with me always. So, anyway, that's kind of a roundabout question, going around about it a little bit, sorry. But I think it's the fact of having a creative, there's so little that is like a creative home in this world, in my experience anyway, because it's so, you know, you're with the freelance life, it's like, you know, it's just difficult. So to have anything that resembles that kind of creative home is very lucky. And as I get older, especially, because this is what I was going to get back to. The way I'm wired, if I don't feel safe in something, I don't feel like I can do my job as well. I know other people can, but I need a safety so I can be free to make mistakes. I can be free to be really bad. So, because sometimes you just need to be really bad in order to, you know, close those doors in a way and go, oh yeah, I'm not going to do that with a limp. That's a terrible idea. So it's like those, and Ken has assembled, Ken Biller,
yeah,
has assembled this remarkable group of people that are all on the same page as far as their generosity, their kindness, from camera department to makeup department to costume to, and you feel it. You feel it in the air when you're working on it, and it makes everyone better. You can rely on each other. You can depend on each other. You know, you're all stronger because you have each other's back. And just the way that the collaboration is so fantastic, and it just doesn't happen that often, where you have, you can get an idea, a costume idea from the camera person, or you can get an acting idea from the costumer. You know, that they, everyone has a say in, a welcome say in, in this, and I feel like that's the way, anyway, I feel most comfortable working, and I'm very grateful to have been back for this. Now, my crazy might be a little too much for season 3, if they do it, but you might be like, it's in my contract, I will not
do it. American Horror Story is done after the whole question. So I wanted to ask you, do you have to be mad to be a genius? You know, we always talk about artistry, and you have to be a little bit mad to be a genius.
I think selfish.
Selfish?
Ooh, yeah. Good luck.
That's what I said.
I don't know. I think selfish. I think it's... Yeah.
Are you selfish?
Me? I'm not a genius. I think it's interesting because we were talking a lot today about the relationships that he had. And,
yes,
and some of the people maybe he chewed up, or it appears as though in hindsight that he chewed up along the way. Or didn't treat as well as he should have, or ignored, or whatever word you want to put to it. And at least being in a relationship, you see that it's like, if you do that, it's antithetical to being in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Completely antithetical. You have to, you know, you want to be your best person for that other, you know, and you'll fail and fail and fail, but you constantly want to do that, and if all of that energy is put into the work,
mm,
well, all that energy will go into the work. And so I think that's fascinating, looking at it just through that lens of there's not enough time, there's not enough passion for everything. So if something gets all the focus, other things are going to be forgotten.
In the first season, every time you would come on screen, I would get annoyed or angered. I'm like, man, this guy's a hell of an actor. I'm feeling these things, and I'm actually pissed off right now. So I can't wait for season 2, and you're crazy in season 3, in your contract.
And you're crazy in season 3.
Yeah, you're such a monster, that.
Oh, yeah. Edgar Hoover.
And I can't wait to see Johnny Flynn and Samantha again. It's brilliant. But you had a question.
Yeah, my quick question. Did you guys shoot or visit any of the places that Picasso lived or worked?
Did you? You probably did, right? Because you shot in different locations. I've only been in Budapest.
No, I was in Budapest. I did one day in Paris, but it wasn't anywhere Picasso. It was in the streets of Paris.
Yeah, no, it's all fantasy.
It's all fantasy.
But luckily,
it's a beautiful set. I mean, they're insane. These sets are incredible. They really take you back and...
And what,
along with the costume.
And what Matthias does with the lighting and
the
imagery is just so phenomenal. But yeah, no, I've seen his paintings. I've been lucky to see some of his paintings in Madrid and obviously in New York when I lived there. And they had this wonderful, I wish they'd do it now, because you were talking about seeing in Paris.
Yeah, they did my first day I walked back from set to my hotel and I walked past the Gagosian in Paris and they had done this exhibition that Maya... Picasso and Maria Theresa's daughter. Why am I
having
you
with me?
Shampoo. She curated, she's still alive, my own, she created this incredible exhibition at the Gagosian of all of these sort of paintings, sculptures, sketches of Maria Theresa and Maya growing up, and it was just such a coincidence.
Wow.
Like literally just walking down the street and I was like, I think that's a picture of my character that I'm playing, and I went in and it was like 3 levels.
Wow.
All pictures of
her and daughter.
Wow.
Serendipity.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Awesome.
So I want to be clear, would you call Picasso selfish?
Oh, that's going to be like the lead.
I just want to kill him. Oh,
he's so cute.
That's going to be the thing.
Horrible.
I don't think you cannot call him selfish. I don't see how one could.
And Poppy coming from a woman's standpoint as a...
I would think that you'd have to go unselfish.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
We're going to get letters from his family now. How dare you?
What is the trailer, pretty much?